A Summoner's Journey, Catra's Story, created by Obelsong
and Arkadyevna.
Fandoms: Gundam Wing, Final Fantasy X. Rating: teen for language. We swear a bit in this. Pairings: some pretty light Troa Catra and duo Wufei. Also, some pretty heavy Wufei Marin. So, while trying to sleep last night, I managed the entire setup for the Final Fantasy X Gundam Wing AU. The big question is, who is the summoner? And I thought about it, and very quickly the answer became Catra. But possibly secretly all of them? Catra has been raised from a very tiny child to be a summoner. He chose it. He wanted this. He comes from a wealthy slash influential family. Possibly his mother or grandmother was a high summoner. Troa was raised by a crusader group for years. At 10-ish, possibly 13, depending on the age we want to set the main plot, he is taken in by Q's family and raised as Q's guardian. They are codependent. Also, the sweetest. Duo is possibly Albed? I want an Albed or half-Albed character, but can't figure out who. Also, this could possibly be Q. Mom is not a high summoner, but an Albed in their attempt to bridge the gap, etc. In any case, Duo is on the streets for a bit, and then in a Spirin temple orphanage. It is destroyed by Sin in the previous go, which means that happens at least 10 years before current events. Only Duo survives. He's picked up by the Albed in the area and raised by them. The more I think about it, the more I like Q being biologically half-Albed, but his mom died really early on, possibly in childbirth, so he was raised totally Spirin, and Duo being biologically fully Spirin, but raised Albed for a chunk of his life. Q, Tro, and Duo are very into Blitzball, though none of them are pros. I have no idea why Duo joins the crew. For Hero, I have three awesome options. One, he was raised by Jay somewhere super remote. Jay was a guardian of a high summoner way back when, so he knows the deal with the final summon turning into Sin, etc., etc. So he puts Hero through mega harsh training and probs experiments with magic, too. Also that eventually Hero can get the final summon, defeat Sin, and survive. Then, when Sin rises again, summon it, because it is his Aeon. Defeat whatever is causing the summons to go bad, Yu Yevon, and dismiss the summon, therefore defeating Sin forever. Yay! 2. Hero is actually a Faith. Probs one of the ones from Mount Gagaset. The Faith are like, fuck this noise, we want to sleep. So Hero goes looking for a summoner that can ultimately defeat Sin. He likes the look of Q's group and joins. At the final summon choice, he's like, pick me. And Q is like, I don't want any of my friends to die. And Hero is like, seriously, pick me, I won't die. And after a long argument, he does. And the summon is ultra powerful because Hero was already a Faith. And Q lives. And then over the next 10 years, Hero has to fight this internal battle against Yu Yevon taking over. Possibly the whole group enters Dream Zanarkin slash Hero's Soul at one point to kill Yu Yevon. The Faith decide they can dream until the natural lifespans of his friends are over so Hero can live too. Or three. Hero is an unsent ancient High Summoner. I'm thinking the second ever High Summoner. This has neat parallels to the game, with Titus and stuff. In both 2 and 3, Hero would be able to use ancient machina, because he is from that era. In all of them, he just shows up out of nowhere, possibly in the first trial. It is very mysterious. Wufei. Oh, Wufei! So Wufei was raised from an early age to be a summoner, like Q. I'd love for him to be a different race, but I don't really want him to be Ronso or Guado. They don't have the right cultures. Marin was raised to be his guardian. They had the tsundere relationship you expect. Then Sin happens. One of the first attacks of the round. Fei is out of town for some reason. Training, possibly? And survives. The entire remote town is destroyed. Wufei finds Marin barely alive in the rubble and carries her to their local shrine/temple and casts every white magic spell he knows. But it is too late. With her last dying breath, she tells him to go get that fucker or something. And then, because they are in a temple and she died for him or something, something, she turns into a Faith. Wufei has an extra bonus summon. He travels to Besaid because he feels like he has to. But he hates being a summoner now. He becomes Q's guardian, but gets the summons at every temple too, as backup. More thoughts on Faith Hero. 3 times they could find out. 1. During the final summon, when Q makes him into a summon, it just unlocks his name and power he already knew deep inside and had just never realized. 2. At the Wall of the Faith on Mount Gagazet. Or 3. During a particularly hairy battle at some point on the journey, they're out of summons and out of everything and are on the ropes and Hero is like, summon me, I'm stronger that way. And everyone is like, that isn't how it works, buddy. Only it is. And does. Bonus omake. I was gonna say they could also find out in the Thunder Plains when he is struck by lightning and it has no effect. But honestly, that is Hero regardless of origin. Anyway, they all meet in Besaid and journey together. Q is the summoner who is on the journey, and they are his guardians. But Fei at least gets the summons too. If we're going with unsent ancient summoner, Hero picks up the summons too, because they are more recent than anything he has. Unsure if Duo picks them up for the lulls. Anyway, I don't really have a plot. Like, obviously Relina is also a summoner. And also, obviously, the temples and the Yevonite faith is corrupt. We could do the Albed kidnapping summoners for their own good plot, too. And that's all that I wrote.
Okay.
So, now we'll get into the actual not fic stuff.
The amount of laughter that I'm holding in from, like, just you reading that, like, so many things.
You didn't have to hold it in! You could have laughed!
I know, but still. Oh, God. I love it so much.
Yeah?
Yes, I love it so much. And I don't have my notes, but we can, I have, like, feelings. Because I'm always going to get into it first, Wufei. How dare you? You always do this to me. Without fail, okay? You always hurt me.
Wufei is he's my angst bucket. Like,
I know.
He's amazing.
I'm very aware of how much he is an angst bucket, but still. Okay.
It's good though, right?
Like, it's really good. And it really works. It'd be just like Fade, just go, well, fuck summoning. Like, not happening. Like, just no. But also, it would be a thing of, like, he still needs to fulfill Marin's final wish, you know?
Right, which is, like, get that fucker.
Yeah, so he's gonna do the thing.
He's gonna make sure that Sin is defeated. He just doesn't really want to summon anymore without Marin to be his guardian.
Yeah.
But he has Marin's faith!
He does.
He can summon her whenever he needs to.
Which makes it a little less angsty than other things.
It does, because she... I picture her kind of, like, hanging around and trolling him.
Oh, absolutely,
once he sort of gets over himself a little bit. Like, when after the first time that he actually summons her, which takes him a long time to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're in, like, dire straits, and, like, Q has been knocked out or something, so they don't have a summon. I don't know what's up with Hero at this point, but, like, they're like, no, we're losing, blah, 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 and Wufei is, like, fine, like, he feels like he has no choice because everything's, like, they're gonna die. Maybe they are, like, Sin is actually, like, attacking a town or something, and they want to drive it away. And, like, just nothing that they're doing is working, and he's like, well... okay, and he summons her, and, like, you know, the summon comes, and everybody's like, what the fuck is this summon? And after the fact, like, he's, like, angstily telling his story, and then, like, Ghost Marin shows up and is just, like, trolling him.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, why the fuck did you take so long to summon me? Like, really? Really?
Oh, she would be the worst troll ever.
And she's in his brain.
Yep. He can't get rid of her now. But no.
Yeah, which would like lighten the angst a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so much lighter than some of the other stuff we've done. Holy heck. Oh, thank God. Okay. So, Faye, in mm-hmm. all the glory. I'm really, whether or not we want to move on to Relina or not, because I'm interested in, like, what we could really do for her story. Because did you have any, like, other ideas about it, or?
No, like...
She's a difficult one.
My ideas kind of start and end with, she is a summoner. And yeah. She's probably, like, I feel like Q is, like, Catra is from an influential family of some sort. Like, they have a high summoner in their lineage, possibly more than one. But, like, they're not really connected to the temple at all, other than that.
Mm-hmm.
Relina, I see as, like, the daughter of a maester.
Okay.
Like that sort of thing. Like, she's high up in the temple. She is, like, she chooses, I feel like maybe she chooses to be a summoner against the wishes of her parents.
That could work. That could, yeah. That could work.
Like, her parents are grooming her to be the next, like, high maester. And then she's like, no, like, Sin is terrible. I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
My only problem with making her parents, like, high maester or, like, high up in the temple is that I do really want to include the corrupt Yevanite faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's pretty core to the game.
Yeah.
And if we make Relina's parents...
I don't want to do it, but I kind of want to. You could always do something with Trace.
Okay, so I also had another thought. Okay, so, thought. I don't know who the Peacecrafts really were.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm... So I'm not really okay with villainizing her darling family.
Yeah.
They seem pretty on the up and up. But I'm totally okay sort of semi-villainizing the Peacecraft family because we don't know anything about them.
Exactly, yeah.
So how about this for Relina? She was, I don't know why, possibly again, like, I mean, we have Sin running around. We could just have, like, destruction all over the place. So at one point during a Sin attack, when she's a kid, this would be around the same time that Duo's orphanage gets smashed.
Mm-hmm.
Relina's Peacecraft family is doing their thing, and the city that they're in, like, doing their High Maester stuff. And maybe they're traveling, I don't know. Somehow, wherever they are gets attacked by Sin, and there's lots of chaos and screaming and running around, and Relina is lost in the attack. And her Peacecraft family, being the slight dicks that they are, kind of just, like, they mourn her for dead.
Okay.
But they don't go to great lengths to try to find her in the aftermath, I think. And so, but the Darlin family picks her up. Like they find her, nobody can find her parents or anything. She's, like, really traumatized for a little while. Anyway, she just kind of, and by the time she's lived with the Darlins for a little while, like, by the time she sort of gets herself together enough that she can, that she could say that, oh, those people on that sphere there, the High Maester, that's my dad. By the time that she gets herself together enough to say that, she's been living with the Darlins enough and it's so much better. That she's like, no, I'm a just stay here.
Yeah. Okay.
Which means Zex gets to grow up as the son of the High Maester.
Yes.
Yeah, Relina gets to grow up. I mean, somebody probably influential or whatever, and she probably grows up in, like, a temple. I sort of feel like her dad is, like, the lead priest at, like, Jose or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyway, we can pick one of the temples. Maybe Kilika.
Yeah, that could work.
Anyway, her dad is sort of lead priest there, so she's really important. And that temple is corruption-free. They've been working really hard.
Aww.
Alternately, oh, we could go with... No, I don't want him too out in the boonies. I was going to say he could be Besaid's sort of high priest.
Yeah. But you're right, that's a bit out there.
Yeah, it's nice to have him at the beginning of the journey and sort of saying all are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe no, that's a little bit too small town. Yeah, anyway, so then we have the Peacecrafts, who are corrupt and power hungry in this version, and mm-hmm. Zex growing up as the son of the High Maester, being groomed for the High Maester position. Do we want Zex to be a good guy, bad guy, gray?
I mean, he could be any, but I mean, it depends on what we want to do plot-wise.
Okay, because what's his canon relationship with Treyas again? Do they like each other, not memory. Like each other? They're just... Like, I don't remember. I don't remember if he's on Treyas' side for a chunk of it.
I think maybe. I think so.
Okay. In any case, leaving that aside, I think Treyas is the guy who wants to be the next High Maester. And also really hates anything that, like, might diminish the power of the temples. Because he's all about tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. He's probably a high priest of some sort. Maybe a maester himself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a high maester, but he's a maester and all about tradition, and he pretty much hates the Albed, etc., etc.
Mm.
So we could do a plot of, if we want to really highlight sort of Spear and Albed racial tension, we could do a plot of Trayz is trying to become High Maester, and then his plan when he's High Maester is, like his whole thing is that the Albed are why Sin keeps coming back, because they keep using Forbidden Machina. So we need to wipe them out. The other thing that we could do is we could decide that we don't, like... So the Final Fantasy X game, it has, like... It has all this stuff going on, like, with the corrupt Yevon Faith and with the Albed and all of this stuff. But it's also all kind of background to the fact that you're on a quest to get Yuna to the final summon.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff happens, and I feel like we could also do that. Like, we could have Trayz being evil and etc. in the background. And we could have some racial tension there in the background. We could have, like, the Albed kidnapping summoners and have them interact with Q a little bit at one point. Mm-hmm. But just keep that all background. We don't have to foreground it.
Yeah, because ultimately it's about getting Q to the final summon.
And if we're focusing on getting Q to the final summons... then really all we need to know is that Relina is another summoner. She is also on her journey. And maybe she has a ragtag group of ladies, and we could do the, like, five ladies that always get. But, you know, she's got Hildy and Sally and Dorothy and Catherine and... yeah, she's got those four.
Yeah.
As her, like, ragtag group of guardians.
I love it. I love me some ladies, so.
But I do want to focus on the guys. Normally I'm all about, like, give me the ladies, but here I really want to focus on...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
On the Gundam pilots and their jazz.
Okay.
Just because I feel like... we don't want to split focus too much.
Yeah.
For this, because the story, it's Q's story, or possibly it's Hero's story. Depending on who we want to, like, center.
Yeah.
But it's their story. It's not, like, it's not Relina's story, the story that we're telling.
Yeah.
And because we're not following her journey. She's just someone we meet along the way.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to follow her journey, then we have to center her and make all of the backstory for her people and do their interactions. And I...
that's a lot of work.
Then we're not centering Q! And Wu Fei! What the fuck hero.
But we all know that Q is my favorite, so I'm all here for centering Q.
Okay, so Catra's story. So Catra has sort of been raised to be a summoner. He decided he wanted to be a summoner when he was a tiny child. And his parents are like, okay, go martyr yourself for Spira. I don't know what parents say when their kids want to be summoners. Like, how do you go, okay, honey, I know you're 5, but you're going to train for 10 years and then you're going to go die.
I mean,
sure, I encourage this.
Admittedly, I don't know if Q's parents would really have as much of a problem with it, considering their lineage.
I don't think you have a problem with it. I'm just trying to, like, come to terms with it myself.
Yeah, no, like, how do you just go, oh, yeah, child, no, it's fine. You can train, you know, you're eventually going to die, and I'm okay with that. You know, that's fine.
It's like, okay, sure. A-plus parenting. In any case, he decided he wanted to be a summoner, like his mom or great-grandmother. So I do like the idea of his mom being an Albed. What do you think about his, like, his half-Albed heritage?
I actually really like that.
Okay.
Because it brings that, again, like as you said, that element of, like, you know, trying to blur the lines and give it, like, some, like, his family trying to bridge the gap. Which
his family are good people.
Yeah. And just, it's an interesting thing as well that while Q has that heritage, she hasn't really ever been in touch with it either.
Yeah, because that's kind of, I'm not sure I like his mom dying in childbirth, just because mom's dying in childbirth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, it's not, yeah.
Yeah, after like, I was reading it out loud, I was like,
Yeah, no, I could tell.
But for some reason, he doesn't grow up with Albed heritage.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Like,
I also don't really think we need to explore it.
No, we don't need to. We don't need to.
So just, he doesn't. For that, some reason, something happens and like, I mean, it would be interesting. Okay, maybe he has a little bit of Albed.
Yeah.
But he lives in a Spirin place and his dad is Spirin, and maybe all of his sisters had Spirin moms. Like, he's the only one with an Albed mom.
Yeah.
And so it's a very Spirin household. And his mom has sort of decided that she's okay with that.
Yeah. See, so that makes sense. That makes sense. But I just kind of really like the juxtaposition between Q and Duo. Because obviously Q, I really like that.
Oh, good.
And when I read it originally, I was like, yes, this is good. This is good. But yeah, I really like Q having just a, like, obviously he's got like knowledge and he would be fairly close with his mom, but being in a Spirin household, it wouldn't be as anywhere near as prominent. And then Tro, because with Q comes Tro.
Oh, Tro.
I love him. So tell me about Tro.
Okay.
Because Tro is always the one that we have difficulty with.
But I have a plan for Tro this time.
Oh, wow. Really?
I know. I mean, it's like a sentence long, but it's a plan.
It's something.
So Troa, a lot like in Gundam Wing canon, where he was with mercenaries for a large portion of his life. In this story, he's going to be raised by Crusaders. So the Crusaders are kind of an army-ish. Their main duties are like fighting fiends and fighting sin. But I'm sure they have other duties like patrolling the temple, keeping the peace, sort of like police force type deal. But I get the feeling that like his particular group that he hung out with were probably always like on the edge of society and just sort of like they were the killing fiends people. Killing fiends, maintaining roads, etc. That sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so he was raised, like, they just found this child wandering, like, lost. And they were like, welp. But they were out there in the middle of wherever they were for, you know, their tour was like 2 years long. So by the time they got back close to anywhere that they could drop this child off, this kid was part of their unit already.
Yeah.
And so he just sort of stayed. So he was raised by them until eventually they do come back to Vivelle. They're finally done. And then I think, like, they probably see Q's parents or something. Anyway, Q's parents are like, oh my gosh, what are you doing with a child? And, like, it's been, like, 5 years or something.
Yeah.
They're, like, 10 or, you know, 10 or 11-ish. And also, Q just, like, latches on to Troa.
Oh, absolutely.
He's just like, this is mine. It's mine now.
Honestly, okay. What is it with us and Q just legit claiming Troa in everything that we do? I mean, nope. Tell me I'm wrong. But
you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. This is it. Like, everything we do, he just lashes. It's canon. It's just like, nope, mine. That's it. Done.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Troa responds to this by like, yep.
Like, yep, like, this is
he's
thing.
Mine too. Like, yeah. I'm his.
He's content. He's content.
Yeah, and Catra is like, I'm gonna be a summoner and you're gonna be my guardian. And Troa's like, yep, done, sold.
Just, okay.
And the Crusaders are like, well, I guess that's okay. Let us do great research into your parents to make sure they are okay for you. Because unlike Troa in canon, where it seemed like the mercenaries didn't really care, these Crusaders do care. Like, yeah. He had a family in the Crusaders. Mm. And probably later on in the journey, they come across some of them specifically, but also Crusaders in general. Like, the Crusaders know Troa.
Yeah.
He has rank with them. And he probably still trains with them even in Bavel and does stuff with them in Bavel. Like, he might not be a Crusader right now, but he has been in the past, and everybody kind of sort of expects him to be one in the future after Catra has gotten the final summoning and has sacrificed himself for the greater good.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of figures that Troa will come back and be a Crusader again. So, you know, he has good ties. He's got a good family. He's just taking a break. He's taking a leave to be a guardian.
Yes.
He's just starting that at 10 years old.
These boys,
hashtag,
I swear to God.
Overachiever.
Oh, you're not kidding. You're not wrong. But yes, so I just love Q's entire backstory as well, and just... because I'm assuming that, like, the majority of Q's household as well, most of his, if not most, like, quite a few of his sisters are also summoners.
I actually don't think so.
Really?
Because here's the thing. They might have the capability to become summoners.
Mm-hmm.
But the way canon sort of talks about summoners is once you are a summoner, like once you go get that first summon in Bavel, which apparently everybody only does when Sin is around, which this is brief side note rant about this because it's been bugging me ever since I recorded A Long Road to Destiny. Okay,
go
ahead. Apparently, like, so you have to go through this whole massive, rigorous journey, right? To get all of the summons and then go do the final summoning in Xanarkand, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I understand why nobody wants to, like, cross the Calmlands, climb Gagazet, and go to Xanarkand when Sin isn't around. That makes total sense to me. Because why? But... why would you not visit all the temples, get all the summons, get all the aeons in a time of peace when you don't have to worry about as many fiends on the roads, where you don't have to worry about, like, Sin rampaging around, and then you have all of them, Sin appears, like, day one Sin appears, you have, like, 12 summoners already at Gagazet. They're like, welp, we got you covered. And then Sin is only there for like 3 days. Like, I don't understand. Preparation, spear in people. Preparation.
Because practicality is not in the Final Fantasy brand, Erbalsong.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't have a whole bunch of people like standing by with all of the summons. And like, there is... what's it called? Precedent for people having summons and being summoners that are not on the journey. That's what what's his face, creepy McGuado face that tries to marry Yuna, is like
Seymour.
Yeah, Seymour.
Yeah.
He has a summon. He has anima, and I don't know if he has any of the others, but he definitely has that one. So he obviously has the ability to summon, but he's also very obviously not on the journey to defeat Sin. So, like, I get the feeling that the ability to be a summoner is not rare. It's maybe not common, but not rare.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get the feeling that, at least culturally, if you're going to be a summoner, you are then a summoner, and you go to all the temples, get all of the summons, and then go get the final summon and defeat Sin, unless you die along the way somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Like, his sisters being summoners...
doesn't really...
Also, what happens to summoners after they're... so somebody else defeats Sin. I have four of five summons. Four of five aeons. Okay. 10 years from now, I'm probably still going to be alive. 20 years from now, I'm probably still going to be alive.
Nah. Like, everybody dies.
Can I not just, start where I ended? Go to Bavel and go, okay, I need the fifth one, and then on to Gagazet?
Nah.
Apparently it's a one-shot deal. You gotta try once, and if you don't make the whole thing in the first try, you're done.
It's like a warranty on Aeons. Runs out.
Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. This is
in any case.
Any case. Q's sisters.
So I don't see his sisters being summoners. I see them having the potential.
Yes.
But I don't see them being summoners.
And also for Q to have grown up with so many sisters, it's likely that the majority of them aren't summoners. So, yeah. Okay. Duo!
He's tied for most tragic backstory.
Especially in this one, because depending on what one we're doing, not fix wise, sometimes Wufei takes the cake. But
not in this one.
Not in this one.
Yeah, so Duo, it's pretty much canon. He grows up on the streets, then he goes to an orphanage, and he's Spearin, biologically. Only then it's destroyed by Sin. Because everything is destroyed by Sin. I kind of love having a giant world-ending monster around that just attacks whatever I want it to. It's like, do I need a reason for tragic backstory? Sin!
Just bam! Backstory unlocked.
Yeah. Anyway, orphanage destroyed by Sin. No, rando fires here. It's just, pure destruction. Duo is the only one who survives. And unlike Wufei, Wufei was gone for some reason. And that's why he survived. He came back to find his town and as rubble. And Marin dying in a field of flowers.
Fuck off.
Duo, on the other hand, was there when Sin attacked. He was there. He saw all of his friends in the orphanage. Sister Helen, Father...
Maxwell.
Oh, duh. Father Maxwell, he sees them all die in this Sin attack. He sees it, and somehow, for some reason, he survives. And I don't really want to, we could very easily say, one of the faith protected him.
Yeah.
I don't... Okay. So, I instinctually thought I don't want that. And then I had another thought that was, now I'm torn.
Okay.
Okay. It only works in scenario, in one of the scenarios with Hero. Because if Hero is a faith, he could protect Duo when Duo was a tiny child in the orphanage.
I knew where this was going. And I just sipped my coffee so hard while you were saying that, because I'm just like, I know where this is going. It could, but because it really comes down to whether or not we want Hero to be protecting him or not. But I'm actually kind of I don't know whether it's just my angst machine going full bore, but I'm kind of just leaning towards not.
Yeah, that, like, he just survives for some reason.
Because that's Doer. Like, he's a survivor. Oh, yeah, because,
like that fits way more with his canon story than... And it makes him a little bit less, I'm special.
Exactly.
Though it does give him a reason to join their party.
I mean...
Later. Because he's like, you! And Hero's like, what?
Hero's just like, completely forgotten this, like, moment in time.
Or just, like, doesn't want to admit to it because he's playing it being human.
He's playing the long game.
Yeah, he doesn't play it being human very well.
But he tries? Yeah. Question mark, question mark.
Anyway, we can say that they don't.
Yeah.
I do kind of want Duo and Hero to have met before somewhere, but that depends on Hero's backstory. And so we can have that you moment.
Yeah.
With Duo and Hero.
Well, I mean, we could do
you
that.
You tried to shoot me. Sorry. We'll get to how they know each other after we talk about Hero and we've decided.
Yes. Okay. Which one they're gonna go with.
But yeah, Duo gets adopted by Albed because they find him floating in the wreckage of this orphanage with all of the people that he knows dead around him, and he somehow survived.
Fuck off with your angst. Come on. Moving on.
Anyway, he's raised by Albed, and it's great because he had, like, culturally, he, like, that would happen when he's like 5.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the timeline. It depends on how old we want them all to be.
Yeah.
When they're on the summoning journey, because all of this, like this happening, Troa getting adopted by Crusaders, Relina's adoption by the Darlin family, all of Q deciding to be a summoner, all of that happens 10 years before current events. So, yeah. Like, it all depends on how, like, do we want them to be 15, like, in Gundam Wing Cannon? Do we want them to be 17? Do we want them to be 20?
I'm honestly not sure.
In any case.
Anyway.
Nebula's time when he's a child, he is adopted by Albed. He is then raised by them for 10 years. And 10 formative years. So he learns Albed. He's culturally Albed. Even though he is biologically Spearin. Duo can use all the machina.
Alright, so now we get to the big one.
Hero!
Yay, okay.
Aren't all three options amazing?
They're so good. Okay,
I want three different stories about Hero, except that they're all kind of the same story, but slightly different.
Slightly different, but, yeah, okay. We want to go through them?
Well, I mean, I recorded them, so.
Well, yeah, of course, but, like, we gotta figure out which one we want.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, I thought it was pretty obvious in how the sheer volume of what I'm kind of biased towards Hero as a faith.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, just a little bit biased. Mostly and I do not
I have
mind.
An ending. Mostly because I have an ending for it.
Oh. See, here's the thing. I don't mind this bias whatsoever, okay?
I do really, really, really love Hiro as an unsent ancient high summoner, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there are statues of him in some of the temples.
And here's the thing, though. If they're going through these temples, like, do they just not notice?
Well, it's a statue. If you see a statue in a regular person, like, and you're, like, and you're not aware that they're the same thing.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
You're not gonna, like, put it together. Possibly also, some, like, ultra enamored, like, acolyte or something who stares longingly at Hiro's visage. Like, just, oh man, he's so pretty. And then he sees Hiro walking in and he's like, ah! And just, like, dies on the inside. Yeah. And, like, ceases to function for the entire time Hiro is in the temple. Anyway.
Because I've just got this image of Hiro going through this whole thing and just giving no shits, honestly, about keeping his identity. Like, he doesn't actually outright say it, but it's not like he's really... Like, he just doesn't really... Like, he goes through the journey, you know, it's good. But he doesn't really, like, keep it much of a secret either. He doesn't say anything about it, and it's not something that the crew really picks up on. But he doesn't really go out of his way to hide it.
They know that something is off, because if he's an ancient, unsent high summoner, A, whenever Q does ascending, he is mysteriously absent.
Yeah.
He just, like, fucks off somewhere, because he doesn't want to be sent.
Yeah.
And because he knows Q could actually send him.
Yeah.
Like, Q is strong enough. Two, like, he is ultra cavalier about using Machina and using, like, being able to use Machina, being able to read, like, ancient script. Like, he's just so cavalier. And I feel like a lot of the time he is like, what the fuck are the Yevanites doing?
Yeah.
Just like, what is happening right now?
Oh. I kind of really love it. But.
So there's that.
But that being said. And also, again, as you said, it gives real nice little parallels.
Yeah, to Titus.
Mm.
It does. And what was... Oh, what was the first option again? Him as a human, just... Oh, yeah, him with Jay as a human, which is, I think, the least compelling, but the closest to canon.
Yeah. And usually we like close canon, but...
But no, it pales. It's good. It's solid.
It's good.
It pales in comparison to unsent high summoner here. Imagine Hiro being a summoner. Like, all the holier than blah, blah, blah. Like, I am a beacon to Spira. Like, I mean, that's why I was like, he's definitely the second one.
Yeah.
Ever. Because, like...
Beacon's here.
Because there's no way he would... Yeah, no. That's why Q is the summoner. Because he's the one that's actually, like, good at being a summoner. Like, not... I mean, he's also really good at summoning and aeons and stuff, but he's good at being the face of a summoner, like being the hope of Spira, being the center of attention, being the like holy person type deal, like getting people bowing to him and all of that sort of stuff. He's really good at that. The rest of his party, not so.
No. And see, I'm just imagining each of them being put in that situation, and I'm like, oh no.
Here's the thing. Wu Fei pre Marin's death.
See, he would have the
smug holier than thou, like, down pat.
Yeah.
Fei post Marin's death? Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, not at all. Duor?
Duo would be hilarious as a summoner.
He would be, but also...
He's like, let me walk around in my Albed wetsuit and use this, like, motorcycle machina that I have.
Yeah, no. I would be terrified for the people. I'm sure the people would be terrified, too.
Yeah. Okay.
And then... So. Yeah. And then Tro, I mean...
Oh, Tro.
Yeah. Okay. But option number two.
Hero was a faith!
Okay, I really love this option. I really love it.
Good.
And if I said I didn't actually want the, like, omake of the Thunderfields...
But here's the thing about the omake with the Thunderfields. It's like, it doesn't matter what version of Hero we give. He's still going to get struck by lightning and just be like, what?
Literally. Like, he just kept going. Like, it wouldn't faze him.
Yeah, it's like, was that supposed to hurt?
Like, if anything, it'd just tickle. Like...
Or energize him?
Oh, God. So, you said you had an ending.
Yeah, okay. So, let's go through the journey. I assume we're going with Hero the Unsent Faith. Yeah. I mean, Hero the Faith.
Yeah.
Because
reasons.
Because it's just awesome?
Yeah.
Okay, so at some point previous to the story beginning, Hero and Duo meet somehow, for some reason. I don't know why, I don't know when. Possibly.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, please help.
Okay, so I had an idea, but I'm not sure if it'd work. Pre-orphanage?
Okay.
Like tiny Duor. Pre-orphanage, like on the streets. And it's like, it's vague enough in memory, but when you're little, like, you remember specific little things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, be it the presence or be it, like, what he looks like, it'd stick in his memory. And that way, if we wanted, we could have, like, just maybe that's how Duor found the orphanage or was found. Because Hero was just like, tiny thing, what are you doing?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I had two thoughts, and my first thought was like, but I want the scene where Duo is standing there and Hero like shoots him or tries to shoot him or aims a gun at him, because it's just so iconic.
It is.
But then you were like, Hero leading tiny Duo to the orphanage. Okay, so what about this? It is 10 years previous, like 10 years before the story starts, which means Sin is rampaging.
Mm-hmm.
Duo is tiny Duo. Oh, it's before that, because he has to be at the orphanage for a little while before Sin is rampaging.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hero is trying out this whole being corporeal human thing.
Trying it out.
Well, like, I feel like the faith at this point, they've tried this a couple of times, maybe not Hero specifically, but they've tried this whole, like, okay, we're going to get a summoner and they're going to do the thing, but it's never worked out. And so Hero is like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. Or maybe this is the first time he's tried it, but he's like, I need to try to, like, be human, figure myself out before Sin comes again, because, you know, I need to sort of scout out potential summoners.
Yeah.
Maybe pledge myself to one of them as a guardian, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like walking the streets of, I don't know where, one of the cities. And there's this tiny, tiny thing that latches onto him, because Duo has the best instincts.
Yeah.
Just, like, latches on to this guy who looks like he's gonna kill everyone. And he won't go away. True. He's just like, you're my dad now.
Aw, Dior.
I mean, he doesn't say it like that.
No, but like the intent is clear.
Oh, okay. Duo would probably say it like that at some point, just
yeah,
like to annoy the shit out of Hiro. But they like spend like a month where Hiro isn't quite sure how to get rid of Duo.
He's and like, how do humans work?
Yeah, and Duo's like 5, and so they spend like a month together. And Hiro actually learns a fuck ton about being human in that month.
Mm-hmm.
Duo teaches him a lot of the being human skills.
Yeah.
Because he's 5 and is human.
I mean, 5-year-olds are barely human, but they're human enough.
They're human in the ways that Hiro needs to be taught. So,
yeah, yeah.
But then Hiro is like, okay, I need to go find... No! Okay. I had a thought.
Okay.
So, then, like, I don't know why, but Hiro has to leave for some reason.
Okay.
Like, he's just like, okay, I need to go. And so he finds an orphanage. This orphanage that's good. He scouted it out. The people feel good. And he brings Duo to them and then tells Duo, when sin comes, become a summoner. And I'll help you.
Aww.
He has scouted out his potential summoner. He's like, promise, when sin comes, you have to be a summoner. And Duo's like, why are you leaving? Sob, sob, sob.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, yes, I promise. And so he remembers the promise that he made to Hiro, that he had to be a summoner.
This just and got cute.
And that's why he goes to the Bisei Temple. And it kind of makes it ultra tragic when the orphanage is destroyed.
Yeah.
Because Duo, like, he was like 5, now he's like 7. And, or whatever, like 7 to 10 in there somewhere. And he can't be a summoner yet.
Yeah.
Like, he's failing his promise to Hiro because sin came and he can't be a summoner.
See, I said this was cute. And then you drop the angst bomb. And I honestly should not be surprised at this point. Why do you always do this to me?
But it's cute. Anyway.
I know, it is cute. It is cute. Okay.
Yeah, and Duo gets over it. And I don't think he remembers. We're not going to have a it's you moment. Because he doesn't remember a Hiro.
No, he just remembers his promise.
Hiro remembers him, though. So that's great.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay. So, the rest of the journey.
Okay.
So now we know how Duo shows up.
Yes, which is great. So, Q, because this is Catra's story. This isn't actually Duo's story. This is or Wufei's story or Hiro's story. This is Catra's story. So we're centering Catra. So Catra shows up in Bisei because we'll just ignore everything that happens to get him to Bisei. We're just starting where the game starts. So Hiro shows up in Bisei. Catra shows up in Bisei. And he goes to the temple. And he goes to get his, like, to get the first summon. And this is the first major test. Like, can he really do it? right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can he really become a summoner? Because I also get the feeling from FF10 canon that a fair number of people train a lot, go into Besaid's temple, and then fail out. Like, just, can't get the summon. I get the feeling that that is fairly common. So, Q is like, okay, I can do this. I know I can do this. Let's get this done. And so, I don't know if he meets Duo and Wu Fei before that. Oh, okay. So Duo is having a hard time getting into the temple. Like, the priests aren't, like, mobbing him or technically kicking him out, but they're also not really letting him go to the trial.
Yeah.
Because he wears an Albed wetsuit, he speaks Albed. It's like, we know you are Spearin, because biologically you're Spearin, but, you know?
Yeah.
So, when Catra shows up at this temple, and Duo is, like, waffling around, either outside the temple or in sort of, like, the temple proper, Catra sees him and goes to chat him up, obviously, because he's Catra. And Duo is only too happy to talk because he's Duo. And so they get talking, and Catra finds out that Duo is having a hard time getting into the actual trial. And Catra's like, okay, well, they're not going to stop me from going into the trial. And I can take my guardians with me into the trial. So, at least... Okay, so I'm not sure that's actually canon to Final Fantasy X specifically. I forget whether that's actually a canon thing in Final Fantasy X. Especially for Besaid. I know it happens, I just don't know whether it's kosher. But I'm going to go with it's cool. Like, your guardians can come with you into the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah. Anyway... So Catra is like, yeah, so they're not going to stop me from going in because I have lineage. So if you, like, sign on to be my guardian, at least for like a little bit, I will definitely get you into at least this temple. And if you, you know, stick with me, like, you can do the rest of them. You won't be able to say, like, I am a summoner, but... You know, you'll get into all of the temples, and then when we get to Xanarkand, we can, like, junk and pawn or it or something. Like, rock, paper, scissors it for who goes first in the attempt to get the final summon. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Duo would be on board, because his thing is not, like, he doesn't need all the pomp and circumstance. He just wants all the Aeons in to get to the end. Because that's what he promised. He would rather sort of be in the background. So he's like, sure. And I feel like... Okay, we're going to go with everybody getting all the summons, except for possibly Troa. Troa and Hero don't get the summons. Hero for obvious reasons. And Troa because Troa has no interest. He knows he's going to sacrifice himself somehow. For Catra.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't know about the final summon, but, like, he just knows at some point he's going to sacrifice himself for Catra, and that'll be fine. And anyway, so I think maybe Catra met Wu Fei on the way into the village. I'm just trying to figure out how to get Wu Fei into the Chamber of the Faith. Because I kind of want him... Oh, okay, no. Okay, so here's the deal. So Catra goes into the temple, meets Duo. Duo signs on to be his guardian.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go, they take the trial. They get to the Chamber of the Faith. And Catra goes in, makes it, you know, whatever, prays to Vale for. gets the summon. Duo goes in, prays to Vailfor, gets the summon. Vailfor is like, teehee. Oh, I see you've met him. Oh, he likes you. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
To Duo, and Duo is like, okay, that's weird. But probably all the Faith are like this to all the summoners, so whatever. Because nobody ever talks about what goes on in the Chamber of the Faith, so, like, what? Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Duo is Albed raised, so he doesn't even have any of the regular training.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then they're, like, on their way back out, in the middle of having to do the trial backwards, when suddenly there's this rando, like, they would have sworn they were alone in the room. It's like a box with four walls. And they turned around and suddenly there's someone there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Hero. Because Hero doesn't know how to not be a creep. And Hero just says something like, you'll do.
And that's the you have been chosen moment.
Yeah, that is the you have been chosen. Music swells. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, yeah, you're good. You will be strong enough. Anyway, somehow Katra and Troa, like, actually get him to talk. And he's like, basically, he sets him up as, like, I'm a guardian with no summoner. And they're like, how the fuck did you get in here? And he's like, eh, it happened. Just, like, non-explanations all over the place.
Yeah. Completely blasé.
Yeah. But Katra is, like, but he's really insisted that he wants to be Katra's guardian. And he keeps eyeing Duo. But, Duo has introduced himself as Katra's guardian. So he's just like, well, I guess I'll go with it. Internally, Hero's like, I can sense Vailfor in you, so whatever, you're keeping your promise. I'm gonna keep an eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be your guardian, but I'll officially be this other guy's guardian. And it ends up with them both being Katra's guardians, because Katra. Anyway, then they leave the temple. Besaid is, like, having a massive party, because they actually had two summoners today who got their aeons, and Katra's like, who's the other summoner? And there's Wufei looking the grumpiest, the most unhappy. He actually looks pretty angsty because, like, he doesn't want to be a summoner.
Yeah.
Like, but this is what he needs to do to, like, fulfill Marin's last wishes. So he feels like he has to be a summoner. So Katra and Duo and basically go over there and, like, chat him up. And Katra finds out that he doesn't actually want to be a summoner, but feels like he needs to make sure that Sin is defeated. And Katra's like, well, be a guardian then. Or maybe it's Troa that's like, there are more ways to, you know, defeat Sin than just being the summoner.
You and your Tro voice need to shut up. Yes.
I like my Tro voice. It's great.
I like your Tro voice. Everyone likes your Tro voice.
Anyway, so then he too becomes Katra's guardian. Yay! He has four guardians. A plus. Anyway, then they go to Kilika Temple. And I assume that goes just pretty normally.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they probably meet Relina, because it's on her home turf. I don't think she's started her quest quite yet, but they meet her in the temple. Then they get to Luca. They definitely see a Blitz game. Because here's the thing. Katra and Duo and Troa are all massive fans. Like, massive. Yeah. And Hero is the one that's like, what it, like, no, they had Blitzball back in Xanarkand. So, like, he knows what Blitzball is. He just like,
doesn't get the fascination.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and Wufei is all like, I am too angsty. Marin was the one who loved Blitzball.
Oh my god.
And everyone's like, oh my gosh. Get some therapy already.
Quit it with the angst. Go get some help.
Secretly, Catra and Duar are like, okay. So when we get to the final summon, we let him do it first. Because he really wants to defeat Sin.
Aww.
Like, we'll let him win at rock, paper, scissors. Anyway, so they go see a Blitz game. That's all great. There's probably, you know, if we want to follow the game's trajectory, there's probably weird, ominous interaction with Trace at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But we're backgrounding him, so I don't know if that's ever going to come to anything. But, you know, weird interaction with Trace. And then they go to Jose. Stuff is great. You know, more just sort of on the usual. Hero spends some time, like, when the others are here, okay. So when the summoners are sort of taking turns going into the Chamber of the Faith, Hero has a tendency to, like, wander through the trials.
Uh-huh.
Like, he doesn't sit right outside the Chamber of the Faith, like Troa does, like normal guardians do, like the rest of the summoners do. He just, like, wanders the trials and, like, talks to himself. But, like, he's chatting with whatever faith is there. Just, it looks like he wanders the trials talking to himself, and it's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and then then you get to the moon flow, and that's great. And that is where in the Final Fantasy X game, Rolina is kidnapped by Albed.
Okay.
And so if we want to sort of parallel that, Rolina... Or, so, Catra, like, here's the thing with the Albed capturing Catra. Problem number one, Catra looks Albed and mm-hmm. possibly has the, like, spiral eyes, spiral pupils that mean, like, that are the signifier that you are Albed. Mm-hmm. So he looks Albed. So the Albed are like, one, what the fuck, Albed summoner. Like... what is going on? And two, like, Duo is with him, and Duo is one of their own. So I kind of feel like they attempt to kidnap Q, get him on board, and just kind of go, what the fuck do we do with this kid? Because he's Albed, and yet summoner. Like, does this mean we extra have to lock him up? Does this mean we have to, like... sit him down and talk to him about why he shouldn't be killing himself?
Mm.
And then Duo, you know, swims up, jumps on the ship and is like, whoa, 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 guys. He's with me. And then they're like, extra, what the fuck? Who are you? Why are you speaking, Albed? And then he lists his, like, parents and ship and whatever. And they're like, oh, wait, you're that guy. Wait, what?
Yeah.
So I feel like they get off pretty easy. Like, the subplot for the Albed kidnapping summoners is kind of sidestepped. And I think also during that, Hero just kind of, like, appears on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is like, how the fuck did you get here? And he's like, what? I need to stay with my summoner. He says as he stands behind Q in, like, a place that Duo has only just now been able to get to. And everybody is like, how long have you been there? So, anyway, they continue on. They get to Guado Salam. Do they go to the Far Plane?
Hmm.
I feel like Hero wouldn't. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, okay, yeah. So I said the wrong name. But Hero definitely wouldn't.
Mm.
He'd just be like, I'm fine. I have no one that I need to see. Because he sees all of his dead friends all the time. They're all glued to a mountain together.
But here's the thing. Wrong.
But then there's a Duo, which is the name that I meant to say. So part of me wants to go, he was raised by Albed, so he definitely wouldn't want to go there. But then the other part of me is like, but he made a promise to a guy he doesn't remember that he would be a summoner, and he wants to see that guy. I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Oi.
And it's like,
fuck off.
So like, does he go? Does he not go? Q and Tro probably go because yeah. They're good spirits and they want to, you know, take the moment. Okay, the question for Wu Fei does not go to the far plane. I don't think. But the reason why he doesn't go to the far plane, I think by this point he has summoned. Okay, where do we want them to be that Sin would attack? Because it would be really easy to set it in Killika, like in Final Fantasy canon. Okay, and that would make Killika, like, if in Jose we highlight Hero talking to the walls in the temple, question mark. In Killika, yeah, they get out of the temple, they get back to the town, and then Sin attacks, and then it's just like, all hands on deck. That also, like, if we spent a couple chapters with them, like, in Besaid, and then getting to Killika, and then getting through the forest, and then in the temple, like, there would be enough time to really get the, like, pathos of Wu Fei has a dead wife.
Yeah.
You know, like, who he will never see again. And then, you know, they try to fight off Sin, and he summons Marin's Aeon, which is a phoenix.
Fuck you. Fuck what? Fuck you with the phoenix. Every damn time.
I like phoenixes for her.
I know you do, and it makes so much sense, but every damn time. Okay.
Why abandon it if it works?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just painful.
Anyway, he summons that. And so, eventually, so she's been in his head now this entire time. I also feel like she shows up when he's in the Chamber of the Faith. You know, he's there praying to the faith, doing the summoner thing. Grumpily. But not angstily. Like, In Beseda was ultra angsty. In Killika, it was still angsty. In Jose, he's just, like, grumpy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marin shows up and just, like, chats with the faith as he's trying to pray. She's such a troll.
She really is.
Yeah. Where were we? Right. So Farplane, he doesn't go to the Farplane because he still has Marin with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was an opportunity for ultra angst here. If he hadn't summoned Marin yet, he doesn't go to the Farplane because he hasn't defeated Sin and therefore can't face Marin.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't happen because he's got Marin with him trolling his every move.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to go to the Farplane. I feel like she trolls him about his attraction to, like, Duo. And she's like, eh? And he's like, oh my gosh, you are my wife. Please stop. So they don't go to... I mean, Catra and Troa go to the far plane. The rest of them just sort of fuck around. In Guado Salam. And then they go to the Thunder Plains!
Yes!
Which is where... They kind of use Hero as a human lightning rod. Because they're all like, oh no, lightning, ah, lightning, ah. And then Hero actually gets struck by lightning and they're all like, no! Only then he's like, what? Why are you all screaming?
Like, at that point, if they don't know what's up, like...
Oh, they know something is up. They don't know what.
They don't know what's up, but...
I feel like, actually, Catra and Troa, at least, suspect that he's an unsent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they think they're living in option three.
Yes. Bring in more than one option just for this.
Like they think they're in option three. They think he's an unsent summoner, probably like an ancient one, because he can use all of this like machina. He knows how like the travel spheres work really well, like all of this stuff. I feel like Duo has no idea what the fuck.
Yeah.
He just knows Hero is weird. But as they travel, like he keeps getting these, like, he keeps getting this feeling, like, and it's becoming more and more and more, like, visceral that, like, and more overwhelming that he knows Hero from somewhere.
Yeah.
But he's like, that isn't possible, but I do. So the realization is looming in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know. Wu Fei is kind of caught up in his own problems.
Like, wow, I've never heard anything else more close canon in my life.
Like, he knows that there's something fucked up about Yui, but like, he has the ghost of his dead wife trolling around his brain. Like, who is he to like care?
Yeah,
he's not gonna say anything. Also, you know what this journey really is, right? It's a journey of three summoners, each with one guardian. It's so great. Because Q has Troa.
Yeah.
Duo has Hero. And Wu Fei has ghostly Marin. Like, it's
I love it.
Yeah, it's so great. Anyway, so they get across the Thunder Plains. They get to Makalania Woods, which is really pretty. It's also cold. Then they get to Shiva's Temple, Makalania Temple. I would like something interesting to happen there, but I don't. I think at that point in Final Fantasy X canon, the stuff is going badly with, like, Albed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what goes down there. I think that they're being chased by Albed, who are trying to capture them because they escaped or something. But whatever. We'll just say that Makalania goes fine. And then they go to Bavel. And this is where the massive confrontation between, like, Catra and Relina is probably there. And, like, Trez and Zex and, like... all of this stuff that, if we were writing this, would be building in the background. Like, you'd be weaving in this political plot. Probably the Albed stuff would come down at Makalania. Like, something would happen there. Like, something actual would happen there. But since we haven't really defined that plot and sort of sidestepped it for now, like, we'll continue to sidestep it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, like, political... Yevanite plot would sort of come to a head as they get to Bavel. But I don't really see there being any reason for them to be arrested or... like, in canon... I forget how it works in canon because you're in Bavel kind of sort of a couple of times, I think. Because I know there's the wedding, the aborted wedding that happens. But then later... Yuna is arrested and that you have to go through the Purifico thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens. And I forget the order of events there. Like, why you're kidnapped. Like, anyway. In any case, I don't think that happens here. I mean, maybe it does, but whatever. they get Bahamut and everybody has the five Aeons plus Wufei's extra one. They go to the Calm Lands. Possibly they stop and get Anima. Not Anima. The one in the Calm Lands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh! Oh my gosh. Okay. I like it. So, I had a thought. So, Hiro knows about the summoner's journey, right? Like, he gets it. He mm-hmm. he's seen enough summoners. He is a faith. Like, he knows. So, like, when they get out of Bavel and they start going to the Calm Lands, everyone's like, okay, we're good. We're going to head to Xanarkand. And Hiro's like, what do you mean? Like, you're missing some.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Like, what do you mean we're missing an Aeon? Because there used to be another stop on the journey in the Calm Lands.
Mm.
And they're like, what do you mean? Like, and probably Catra is like, oh, they're like, there used to be one, but it's destroyed. And Hiro's like, yeah, no, you're no. Like, it's still there. Like, just because you people can't find it doesn't mean it's not there anymore. And everyone's like, what? Because he just, like, knows. So they go and they find the cave and they do whatever you need to, like, find the thing. And then they all get that summon. The one that lets you throw money at things. I don't think they get, like, Anima wouldn't exist because Seymour, we haven't talked about him at all.
Yeah.
So he probably doesn't exist. And the other optional one, I think it's that guy, Anima, and then the sisters.
I think so.
So it's possible they get the sisters. But I don't know. Anyway, they definitely get the one in the Calm Lands. Because Hiro's like, of course, it's still on the journey. And they're like, what? How do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they see the Ronso, and then they go up Gagazet, and everyone is freezing cold. So cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to Xanarkand, and they're all like, oh, so then they get to the top of the mountain and they see the Wall of Faith. And they're all glowing slightly blue. And Hiro stays well away from the wall. But I feel like someone, either Duo or Troa, is like really looking at the wall and goes, hey, Hiro, there's one in here that looks like you. He's like, yeah. And like, but I don't think he wants to get too close to the wall in case he gets sucked back in.
Yeah.
But I don't think they figure it out there. Though he does, like, again, if we were actually writing it, there would be all sorts of, like, hidden Easter eggs in this point, like, in that scene. So that, you know, when you got to the end, you figured out what was actually happening. You would,
yeah.
If you went back and read it again, it would, like, it's suddenly like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense. You know, that scene. That sort of thing. Anyway, then they get to Xanarkand, and it's all weird, and there are, like, you know, ghosts of people doing stuff. I feel like in Xanarkand, there are enough Pyreflies wandering around that, like, Marin actually, like, physically solidifies and walks with them through Xanarkand. Which is both amazing for Wufei and also the worst. Because now she can talk to Duo.
Oh, dear God.
Wufei's life is so hard, guys. So hard.
And also, if you think that Tro isn't a secret troll.
Oh, yeah. Like there is so much trolling that's going on, like...
Oh, yeah.
In Xanarkand. Because there's also, like, there's also a level of kind of hysteria when they're going through Xanarkand. because all three of the summoners know that they are going to die.
Yeah.
Like, these are the last hours of their life. Like, so there's this level of, like, forced hysterical cheer.
God, Duo would be going overtime.
Oh, he is overtime. Wufei is like, finally, soon I will be able to be with you again, Marin. And Marin's like, fuck off and live. Like, I want a little bit of time without you, thanks.
Yeah, just fuck off and live. Come on, let this one go. And Duo's just like, hey!
Oh, I do think that, like, so they're, like, they've been through the trial, or they're about to go into the trial for the final summon. And they all sort of have a moment where, you know, they settle down, they take a rest. And then this is where you would get really poignant interactions between all of the cast members. This is probably where we would get the fuck off and live comment from Marin, because like, Wufei is earnestly talking to Marin about how he's so happy that he finally will be able to join her. She's like, no, really, like, I want you to live it if at all possible. Like, there's two other people who can do this for you. Like, you don't have to die. And he's like, but I might as well die. Like, they have so much to live for and I don't. And I feel like Marin is like, well, fair, but still.
Point made, but your argument is invalid.
Yeah. I feel like Catra pulls Duo aside and is like, look, if I'm the one that does the final summoning, you have to promise me to ask Wufei out on a date.
Hey!
Like, this is my dying wish.
Fucking Catra. His dying wish, and he's trying to get his boys together. Honestly.
He's also, like, ultra guilt-tripping Duo. It's like, if I die for the world, like, you have to do this. And Duo's like, why are you doing this to me?
Because Catra is a dirty, dirty manipulator.
Yes.
That's why.
Hiro, I'm sure Hiro has a conversation. Like, Hiro and Catra have a conversation. And this is where he has the conversation where it's like, when you have to choose, choose me. And Catra's like, what? I don't. And he's like, it'll make sense. Or possibly he doesn't even say that. He's just like, when you have to choose, choose me. And then, like, walks away. And everybody's
in
like,
true Hiro
what
style.
The fuck, Hiro?
But, I mean, they trust him.
Yeah. And so Catra, so that's in Catra's mind. And so then they play rock, paper, scissors, and Catra wins. And he's the one with the most to lose, and therefore he has to sacrifice himself, as you do. But also it's thematically, like, everyone realizes that it's thematically appropriate because this was his journey.
Yeah.
Like, he was the summoner. And also it would look really weird if he came back to society because he was a summoner on a journey and he's missing one of his guardians, and no, the guardian is the one that defeats Sin. That looks a little strange, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Catra is totally willing to do it, especially for Duo and Wufei, because both of them have reasons, like, really good ones, that they wanted to be a guardian and not a summoner on a journey.
Yeah.
But still. Anyway, so he goes down, they get the speech from Unalesca about, you know, Sin is a cycle, blah, 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 and the final summon is, you know, you have to kill one of your friends to do it, and, you know, the bond has to be strong, etc., etc., etc. And so then Catra is like, I can't choose. I really can't choose. Like, you want me to kill someone to do this? And that's where Troa steps up and is like, let me do this for you. I am your guardian. You do this. You use me to defeat Sin. You know. And then Wufei, then Hiro steps up and is like, nah, use me. Like, use me, you promised. Because he made, I think, he probably made Ketra promise.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, when it comes time, choose me. And Ketra's like, what? And he's like, promise me you'll do it. And Ketra's like, okay. And now he comes back and he's,
What is it with Hero and making promises?
Because it's a theme in Final Fantasy VII.
It's a thing. Seven? Ten.
Actually, I'm not sure if it is a theme. It's a theme in the fic I just recorded.
But either way, it's a thing. And feelings. But yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah. Feelings? Ow.
So Hero steps up and he's like, you promised. And Ketra is like, and turns to Troa and is like, I did promise, and you have to live on for me. Like, you have to, like, live for me. Live in the calm that I create. So that I have created it for a reason.
Oh, fuck off.
Anyway, well, this is supposed to be the angsty part. We'll get to the humor in just a minute.
I know.
Q is sacrificing his life, okay?
Yeah, I know. But the voice shake was unnecessary.
No, it wasn't.
Keep going. Finish.
Anyway,
this.
So then he's like, okay, I choose Hero. Even though this is dumb and I don't want to sacrifice any of my friends and I don't want Sin to come back and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But 10 years of calm, 10 years of respite is still better than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then Unaleska does whatever she does when you actually follow her plan, which does not happen in the game. So I don't know what happens. Anyway, and then Hero is like, you know my name already. Or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, it sort of happens, only then Unaleska gets really pissed because, and she's not pissed at Ketra. I mean, she's a little pissed at Ketra, but she's, like, hella pissed at Hero because he's interfering. He is interfering. How dare you interfere, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they beat up Unaleska, as you do. Like, they kill her, which means no more Final Summon. And Ketra is both happy but also appalled because how the fuck are they going to defeat Sin next time? Also, he's not sure he has the Final Summon. Except then they, like, leave Xanarkand and maybe they're on the mountain or something. Somehow they get Sin's attention. And he's like, well, I need to summon. I'm going to try it. And he has a new summon. And, like, the Faith's name is Wing. And he's like,
knew it.
Well, yeah.
It was gonna happen.
But, like, Hero is still there. He didn't die. So, like, how does he have this summon? Like, he can't have the Final Summon because Hero didn't die. That's not how it works. And now they've killed Unaleska. Like nothing makes sense. And then he summons it anyway, fully expecting to die. Only then Hero turns into a summon. Hero turns into an Aeon and everybody's like, what the fuck? This makes so much sense. And then Hero, being his overachieving Hero self, plus the power of his bonds with his people. Yeah, then he defeats Sin because he's like that.
Because he's Hero fucking Yui.
And possibly, like, Wufei summons Marin and Duo summons, like, Ixion or something.
Mm-hmm.
Have him like actually make friends with one of the Faith, like hardcore, like have him bias towards that Faith through the entire story. Build this up that he summons that summon and they defeat Sin together.
Yay.
But Hero is the one that strikes the final blow, so he's the one that Yu Yevon infects because he is the final summon. Blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, right? But as far as Ketra's story is concerned, they defeated Sin, it's over. Right? Everybody's mm-hmm. like, what the fuck, Hero? You were a Faith all along? All of that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, that guy in the mountain that you said looked like me, yeah, that's me. Only he says it more hero-like.
Yeah.
And, but that's the sentiment. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that was actually me. And then they go home and Sin is defeated. But there's this lingering feeling of what the fuck happens again. Like, they're not sure it's going to come back because Hero is still there. Like, so it wasn't like a normal final summoning where, you know, the Aeon disappears and the summoner dies. And then they know that Yuyevin infects it or, like, something takes over and makes it evil.
Mm-hmm.
They know that, but, like, they don't... But Hero didn't, like, disappear to become infected, so they don't quite know whether Sin is defeated or not. But Hero and Catra are still around, so, like, if Sin shows up again, they're good to go. They'll just defeat it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right. But then over the next 10 years, and Hero knew this was going to happen. Hero is not surprised at this. Hero has to, like, see, then we would, like, that would be the end of sort of story one in the thing. That would be the end mm-hmm. of the story, is that there's this lingering feeling of we don't know whether we've defeated Sin, but we have a plan for if it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone would go off and be happy. Catra was like, I did summon the final summon, so Duo, so you have to go through with your promise. And Duo was like, fuck you. And Catra was like, I was ready to give up my life. And Duo was like, fine, Wu Fei, will you go for coffee with me? And eventually, Catra and Troa get married in a massive white wedding at the top of the Bevel Temple.
Of course.
And Hero is just faithy all over the place. But then there would be a second story, possibly like a shorter one, or it would be extremely introspective, that is all about Hero and his battle over the next 10 years, because Yuyevin is slowly trying to take him over.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the sequel. Yuyevin is trying to take him over. And I mean, Hero being Hero, this wouldn't be the normal story of, like, oh, someone's being slowly possessed and taken over by an evil entity. They start acting weird and possessed, etc. You know, that sort of thing. I mean, he's Hero. Like, Yuyevin doesn't gain very much traction. But it does, oh, I think that one does end up with the group of them, the five of them, like at year 8 or something, or at year 10, going into Hero's soul, like, and it's Dream Zanarkand, and they all get to experience Dream Zanarkand, and then they beat up Yuyevin and destroy him forever.
Yay.
And then they go talk to the Faith that were dreaming of old Zanarkand. Or maybe they talk to them within Hero's soul, or they go on a pilgrimage back up the, like, Gagazet Mountain, and they talk to the Faith, and the Faith are like, yes, we will, like, Hero's going to stick around until you're all dead. And then we'll go to sleep. Finally, we'll sleep. But we can stay awake for a little while longer to mm-hmm. let Hero, you know, be your friend. We won't end it on the angsty, we must say goodbye now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, everything ends up happy.
Yes.
Possibly the Faith end up, like, staying awake longer because, like, Hero just actually gets involved in humanity and more of them just, like, chill out with humanity when they want to.
But, yeah.
The end.
The end.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for us at AO3. You can find it at archiveofourown.org/user/opalsong or/akadevna. Awesome.